Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No. And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Yo, it's 2021, y'all. M&P, we got a new show.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke dick home, poodle.
If you ain't got no money, wait.
D-L-I-N-G M-P-I-O-M-G Netflix, we coming for you. Manny, Poodle,
and special guest too.
It's Bling Empire on Reality Gaze.
I'm drinking Tito's the rest of my days.
Eating Doritos.
This show's the closest we'll get to the glamorous.
Oh, the glamorous.
Eddie, who are these people?
Poodle. Boy, I'm so glad you asked. Oh, there's Dr. Gabe and his wife, Christine. Jamie is the fashion queen. Kevin's got that banging bod. And Kimberly is a DJ god.
Kane's got Benji's by the tons. Anna's dad sells bombs and guns. Ain't none of these kids gotta worry about bills. And they're all in
Beverly Hills.
Oh, the glamorous. Yo, the flousy, flousy. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the flousy, flousy. Oh, the glamorous. Oh,
you guys. Okay. Maddie and I are both kind of Twitter-pated because who's sitting in front of us.
I can't breathe.
Is Kevin Kreider from Bling Empire. Say hello, hey Kevin.
Hi, everyone. I love the intro.
There we go.
Y'all, this is on video and you're not going to see this shit because I look terrible, but I did wear concealer for this because I knew Kevin was going
to. I look like garbage.
You are even prettier on a fucking webcam. Like, than you are on fucking Netflix.
Your skin is perfect, and I kind of hate it.
I am taking a new career as a webcam boy, so this is my first time. I don't think you know this. I'm charging $2 a minute for this. You do know that.
You need to start charging Bitcoin like me.
Don't tease Jake. We've honestly already both have talked about on the show of having dreams about you. It's been a problem.
Yeah.
I
think you become uncomfortable really fast, so we're not going to go there.
It was that leather harness episode that kind of set me over.
Yeah.
And let me just say you were yelling at me, suey, you bitch. So that was my dream.
I needed to excuse myself into an interior room after that episode.
Now that that's out of the way, we had to, because I got a little nervous because it's fucking Kevin from Bling Empire. I can't believe it. Anyway, thanks for being here.
How does it feel? How are you responding to your new sex symbol status?
Well,
or maybe it's not a new for you.
That's the weird thing. It's I feel the same. I still feel attractive and everything. And I'm sharing the same messages, but it's more like the response is different now. It's more like people are like, what? Wow. Like, oh my God, you are sexy. And it's like, where have you been? That's the thing that I always get. They're like, where have you been my whole life? And I'm like, I'm 37. I've been around for a long time.
Right.
So, it's pretty cool. I got to tell you, it feels amazing that I can kind of lead the way for Asian men right now, where they have somebody to look up to. That doesn't have to do with martial arts or any type of stereotypical Asian roles. And it's just neat. Like, it's a totally a new dream and path.
Can we just talk a little bit more about that? You have a TED Talk out there. That's kind of where you probably got your first exposure on a bigger stage. Cause you had done that documentary, The Ugly Model, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But basically the TED Talk, you talked about how basically your kids in your class were calling you like, Bruce Lee, do you know karate, blah blah blah, and you were prayed to be white.
Yeah,
you prayed to be white Irish, as you said.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's weird when you're a little kid, you want to be everything but yourself, but this one really hit home because it was just really cruel. Like, kids are cruel when you really think about it. And the sports field is where it really hit me the hardest, because it's like, if you were good on sports, which I don't know if you two have played sports before, but I just.
That's a no.
You're talking to two theater queens. So no.
I was good at when someone kicked the ball at me in soccer, if I could return it.
Poodle was a clogger. He was a clogger in North Carolina.
Clog dancer.
In South Carolina.
And I was good at running because I could run away from bullies.
Yeah.
But other than that, we have no coordination. No. That is a no that we're not sports involved. This one tried playing T-ball.
You are lucky because the sports field is even more cruel. Like if you're good at sports, the racism comes out even more.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about not just with white people. All races get racist towards all races. And it's really, really, really cruel. And I wish I would have been in theater class now that I think about it, because I didn't have to deal with that. But it's one
they
of those.
More accepting.
They are, yeah. It's a lot more it's accepting much. The theater crowd.
Well, and it's even, you know, I was good at baseball and I quit it because I was gay. That's why I quit.
Oh, really?
Because I was gay and effeminate. You know, I have to say,
you would have been a great catcher.
Still am.
I am with the gay jokes, y'all.
You find your position, my friend.
Well, you know, you can always help me, Kevin. I'm sure you can pitch. But anyway, I have to say, I've watched a lot of stuff about homophobia and otherness and things like that. Your TED Talk, and I'm not just saying this because you're on our show, your TED Talk was one of the most relatable things I've ever seen as a white gay man. And I felt so much of myself in your story. And the way that you described this idea of the bully, the oppressed becoming the oppressor, the bully, the kid that is bullied, internalize that. And then as soon as you get, we see this so much, as soon as you get one little bit of cachet or leg to stand on where you feel like you're not going to be bottom of the barrel, we use that because we're just trying to find a way to
bully everybody else,
accept it. I mean, I got emotional watching it. It was such a good, and we're going to put it in the show notes for people to watch. I recommend not even just Asian. If you feel othered in the world, whether you're fat, you're gay, you're too much, whatever, I really encourage people to watch that because it was something to be said. And then as an actor in LA, I feel like I've been saying this for so long with some of my friends that are Asian actors, but just like we've talked so much about black people in acting, and we had kind of the Latin with J-Lo, we had Latin, but I'm like, I feel like the only Asian man I've ever seen that's popular is the guy from The Hangover, and it's such a terrible stereotypical
Ken Jeong.
Like it offended me, honestly.
Well, honestly, he's,
and so I think you're good for speaking to that.
He's leaned into that, and he's done, I think he's kind of okay with being that kind of quirky. Now, you could ask if it's like yellow face or whatever. Who knows? You talked about in your TED talk about Mickey Rooney.
Which I mistakenly called him Mickey.
You called him Mickey Rourke. I wasn't going to bring that up, but
my mistake.
You did a Maddie.
I say names wrong all the time.
And I correct him.
And he corrects me. So you know what?
That's my job.
Don't do it with your boyfriend, Matt. That's it, you know. Or unless he likes it. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. If I call him Kevin tonight, hopefully he's not upset about it.
Oh, please. Tell me how that goes.
What you were saying on the TED Talk is really interesting. And when we were talking, we talked to Margaret Cho about this too, and she said it's so great seeing, Asian was talking about this, where Asian guys are told to kind of build up, bulk up, and work out. You know, get that. You gotta be
massive. Fumi said that's what he did. He said he was always like working out and everything. Yeah. And I had no idea this was a thing. Like, can you talk a little bit like how that affected you as a this idea to be, I guess, buff.
And I think I took that to the extreme. I got to a point where it was a little toxic for me. And I haven't really been able to talk about toxic masculinity that comes with it that much. But it got to a point where it was very toxic because it was like, oh, this is working for me. Yeah. Girls are looking at me different. Guys are looking at me different. Now guys want to look like me, and girls want to fuck me. It's great. And guys want to fuck me too. It was just different.
That's true.
So I went to the extreme, and then it got to a point where it was not good for my mental health, and it was not good for other people. It became toxic, like I was saying. So I came back a little bit and just got into a place where I'm like, I work out because I want to feel healthy and I want to look good. I don't need to look like a bodybuilder anymore or a superhero. It got to a point where I got comfortable in my own skin now. Yeah. And I didn't have to overcompensate.
It's interesting. Once we start wearing someone else's clothes and we think we're going to be something different than ourselves because of that, it's never positive.
Yeah. I did it with Kane's clothes. I was still poor when I left that party, you know?
Right. So let's just talk about the show a little bit. Yeah. I know we just knew from just a little bit. We talked to Soo Chin Park, and of course, as the journalist, she's like, I did a little digging to see what happened, how the show kind of came thing, and it Christine and Anna kind of started with the idea of the show, and then I think they did the smartest thing possible is they found you as the center, as the viewer's way in. Because otherwise, it's like, how do we relate to people like Anna and Christine and even Kane for that extent? Because it's, the wealth is kind of unbelievable.
Who approached you for the show? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I think that got happened on accident. Like Kelly was one of the first people I met here when I first moved to L.A., but it was before I moved to L.A., because she watched one of my videos on Asian masculinity and she's like, dude, you should come out here. Like, the acting world's changing. I think you could really do well out here. And so I moved, not just because of that, but I was living in Philadelphia at the time and I was stuck in my life and career.
Oh, there's nothing there. Yeah.
There was nothing there in entertainment, right? And I was just stuck. And like I said, and I moved out there and got introduced to some of her friends because I didn't have any friends yet. And somebody dropped out of their cast and she's like, you know what? I think you'd be great for this. And it literally just happened out of nowhere. And I was like, holy shnikes. Like, this is unbelievable. And I had no clue I was going to be the narrator of the show. They just said, you just kept showing up to events and talking, and they were like, we liked what you had to say and we think it was a good viewpoint. They had no intention to go from that in the beginning.
It's so interesting because you when you get all this footage, then the real creative part of reality television happens. And I guarantee you the show is much more compelling with you telling the story, especially from your background. As basically an Asian kid who was basically raised white with, and then you coming into this very kind of very international, people who lived abroad who weren't born here. And they have all kinds of, everyone has a different growing up story as growing up Asian.
Yeah. And that curiosity, because I was never exposed to so many different Asian cultures at once and how they celebrated here in America. And then in the wealth, like that curiosity kept me like just honestly just being like, why do you guys do this? What's this all about? Yeah. Like what, why is the soup black? You know, why is fish fat $15,000? Like it's still doesn't make sense to me. So that was shit was like real for me.
I called you young Kevin from Grover's Corners, who had not experienced Asian life. But it was a great way in to be a show that can talk about all these things. And you're asking, so the viewer doesn't have to be told and taught all this.
Right. So right.
It's the smartest thing the producers did.
It was really well.
I would love to see the time during editing and they're all sitting there watching like, oh, it's him. He's the voice of it. I write and I'm a creator. I guarantee that those moments are so exciting.
Well, you're kind of a star, really, Kevin. You really are.
You do have a star quality.
You're a star, actually. I totally can see you on films and everything. So really, I'm not just saying that because I'm going to think about you tonight when I orgasm. No.
I heard orgasm.
I'm not just saying that because I'll think about you when I orgasm with my boyfriend tonight.
Oh, okay.
But I will yell your name. I'll still do that. We talk about anything on this show, Kevin. Any penis pump is allowed.
Penis pump gate.
Which do we still know who was the owner of that penis pump?
We still don't. I think it was Florence and he just left it over just by accident. But then Kane thought it was mine. And I was like, Kane, since when did we ever talk about penis pumps or penis sizes, period? Like, come on, man. You know me.
Yeah, it was huge. Well, I'm glad you brought up Kane. So, like, talk a little bit about, were you and Kane friends before the show? If not, like,
Very shortly. Like, literally, I got off the plane, met Kelly and met Kane right away. That was really it. And then.
I love your friendship with him.
Yeah. It seems go ahead. Sorry.
Our friendship is so unique because, firstly, when I first met Kane, I was like, this is your friend you want me to meet? Like, he was all.
He's a lot.
Yeah, he was a lot. It was like red shoes that looked like ruby slippers that put Dorothy to shame. And it's just like, what the heck? And I'm like, but we got along so well right away because I was like, okay, I got a good feeling from him. He was like, I was like, he feels genuine and actually kinder than most of the people I imagine to be really wealthy. But to also find out he was cut off from a lot of that wealth kind of, I think, humbled him. And then he got into Buddhism and spirituality. And I think that really made something we connected on.
He's got a lot of empathy, I think, too.
Yeah,
and I think more than a lot of the cast. Christine
rare for people, right?
Yeah, especially if you're born with wealth.
In LA, I think definitely, I feel like where you're kind of the curious mind of the show and Kane's kind of the heart of it to us. Now, I will say, no tea, no shade, Kevin. I would never have y'all investigate anything from me because y'all are terrible detectives.
What do we call you?
What was that show? The brothers that were, it was like an old 80s reference.
Not Simon and Simon, but
that's what but that poor man y'all accosted in the nail salon because you thought he was Kim's father.
Like, and you're like, tell us you're her father.
You're going out there and I'm like, leave him alone.
Like, let this man do this woman's pedicure.
Doesn't it feel like reverse stereotyping? Like, you're Asian and Vietnamese, you have to be the father.
A little bit.
But we were really going off of like, he was just lying about his name and stuff. Right. And it was just, I think that's what makes it funny. It's like, we were so wrong.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was so hilarious.
I think it turned out to be really, and they cut this out, but I think it was actually the brother. That's what it ended up being.
Interesting.
The brother of him.
The show, that was when I said, so now the show is this version of Who Do You Think You Are with them going to Charleston. It was me just going, and because I'm always like, I'm always critiquing the television and how it's working. And I'm like, what is going on?
Such a weird turn, right?
especially for the last episode had been kind of heavy, and we were like, okay, I guess we're off to Charleston, because actually I'm from South Carolina, so I know Charleston really well. It's a great city, great food city. Great. I don't know if you guys got to eat when you were there.
We got fatter while we were there. We ate our emotions away too, because we were like, because literally we got the news of Ken's dad, and like we stayed for an extra day to hang out before and try to get our mind together. Like, how are we going to do this? And we just ate our way through South Carolina.
Shrimp and grits, like, really good seafood. Yeah.
I love Kim. She really grew on me. At first I was like, I don't know. And then by the end of the show, I really love her. I think she's beautiful.
She was too obnoxious for me, but I think in the beginning I was not perfect. Now I'm kind of down with her.
I'm a fan, and I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, I love her mom. I think her mom needs to be in so much more of the season.
Like, agreed.
I love her mother so much. I think she's a star.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
But were y'all scared to go to camp? I mean, because you kind of, again, it's like detectives who are going to hire a case that no one wanted them to find. But y'all did it anyway.
I think what really got in my head was that production said, Kim really doesn't want us like to investigate further with the father. And right. We know she does not want you to go to South Carolina. And so when I heard that news, then I got more scared sharing the news because I was like, wow, she really said like she wants nothing to do with this. And you even think this is a bad idea? I was like, this must be a really bad idea.
Well, was it more Kane or the production or you saying we got to go do this?
It was me. I was like, well, also, too, I'm thinking, what's the big deal? I mean, I've traveled to go see a girl before, and I've never even met her yet, you know, to, like, wherever. And we're just going to go see, like, a random person we haven't met yet.
We're just going to go see someone's real father.
Yeah.
And
I'm too good with parents, you know?
I think I said, so the way it was going to work when you showed up at Kim's house, like, yeah, hey, we were just dropping by from the airport. By the way, your father's dead.
I know that's that. I mean, that was hard. I mean,
was she upset
do?
At all? Did we see? Was she? I would imagine if she knew she was on camera, she probably kept to contain. But like, when the camera stopped rolling, was she upset?
Was more. Is this real? Like, are you guys just doing this for production, or is this real? And I had to assure her. Like, I was like, you can call me later if you want to, but it's this, I'm sorry. Like I don't know what else to tell you. And literally she called and, you know, Netflix does great with people like our cast and stuff. They had like a therapist and just say like, you know, we're here to help you with loss. And they didn't film that, but this is like for her. And so it was just amazing to be able to experience that with her too, though. But I also think that made us much closer because I didn't really care for her that much until the search for our parents. And I was like, oh, she's human. You know, she has other stuff. And like, I understand with abandonment stuff, why she acts the way she does, you know, and like, she's a little bit younger, makes sense. Like you're kind of like this pit bull, right? That kind of, my mom used to call me a pit bull. She's like, you just get at people's necks and you just don't let go, you know? And it's just like, you always have to just bulldoze through things. And I was like, I see that in Kim.
It's that.
That's a great description.
It's that kind of adopted kid mentality of that kind of like, I don't know if I'm got a full anchor with where I, you know, probably, and I'm sure that's something you talked about on the show that you struggled with of not knowing if your parents wanted you.
Totally.
And every adopted kid's like the first struggle they kind of have to, and probably almost lifetime, you know, you have to learn to be okay with it or get an answer.
Yeah. It's really like our best hope is we just couldn't keep you. It was like, it was too hard of a financial struggle. We weren't doing well. We thought education in America would be better and family. That's what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, most adoptees don't hear that. And I think for Kim, it was more like she just wants to know an answer. Like, why didn't you come find me? You know, and I think she has it now, but it's still tough because, you know, you saw on the show, don't wait.
Don't wait. Yeah, you don't get the closure. I've done hypnotherapy too, actually. So I totally subscribe and believe to it. But when you did that hypnotherapy session, that's when I was like, because honestly, for the first show, I was like, okay, I like this Kevin guy. He's really hot. And I would say to Jake, I was like, this guy's a really good actor. He's a really good actor. And it kind of like thought a little bit like, is he acting a little bit in this? Mm. And then this hypnotherapy scene, I was like, this is real. Like, this is real shit. People, I've been in a therapist chair. Like, the just even the sounds you were admitting broke my heart when you were crying. And, but it was this beautiful catharsis because I thought it wasn't necessarily a happy ending of why your parents.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I went, that's real, because a lot of people have that. And I'm sure, like, what's been the response from people to that part of your story?
I mean, like, looking, it's hard for me to watch back on it because when you're in that trance, like, you kind of know, Matt, that, like, you do remember stuff, but there's some
but you don't, yeah.
Don't remember.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird middle ground.
Yeah, yeah, so it, I don't remember.
It's like when Jake's being passed between four guys. He knows he's there somewhere, but he doesn't really
I'm
fully.
Kind of, like, half there, and then I wake up and I realize what's happened.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and then, you know, you realize, I know what you're talking about, but. It's more, I don't remember the birthday part, but I remember, like, the feeling of just being at a different place when I was, like, three. That's when it started to get really real. Like, I could feel everything, and I remembered it. And then, yes, it wasn't the happiest answer, but I think, to me, I wanted a happy answer. That's what I realized. Wow, I was like, wow, this shit really works, because I wanted to go in there with a happy answer of, like, yeah, like, father was a banker and just says, you know, we should just give this up because we don't want to have kids. We want to live like a YOLO life or something. And it's not the feeling I got when I was going back that far. And I never did regression therapy where you go back before that. Because, like, when she was explaining it to me before we even did the therapy, I mean, this was film, but it just didn't make the cut. But she was just explaining what it was like. I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. Like, there's always that doubt. It's like, I don't think this is going to work. I've done hypnotherapy. What? You know, I'm going to be awake still?
Yeah. 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 It feels, it's like you said, until you go through it, it's hard to describe. Because I thought I would be, like, out and not remember everything, but it's not. Right. It's just, it's very, the only thing I can compare it to is, like, a very, very deep meditation.
Yeah. And I'll tell you some of the conversation I had with Kane before. I was like, I get the feeling someone's going to surprise me and be in the room and then tell me I'm a dog or something for the rest of my life. And then I come out of here barking like a dog. I was like, is this what this is about? Because I'm not, like, if you want to be there, because he's like, I want to be there for it, you know?
No.
I want to be there to give you a suggestion to be a dog.
But he actually forgot, because I forgot to tell him, like, I actually went through with it. So he was just like, you did it? I was like, you didn't tell. I was like, man, I think I might have mixed, like, conversations. But I was like, yeah, man, I did this. Like, we finally did it. And thank you for not being there.
Right.
I think it would have made me even more self-conscious. It's a very self-conscious thing. Like,
yeah,
it's weird. It's weird. You don't know when. It's almost like getting high. You don't know when you get high. You just are high all of a sudden.
Yeah. You don't. You all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm really fucking high right now.
Right.
Yeah. There's no. Like, I'm almost high.
Yeah.
you just go, oh, I'm high. I'm high. I'm really high right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like I'll never forget after eating some kind of like gummies and laying on the beach and going, I'm fucking high as off my balls right now. When you're sitting there and the expression of not being able to move, and I'm like, I can't, I'm so high right now.
Totally.
And you're trying to describe it. But anyway, so just to wrap up a little bit, we want to do a little game.
Sure.
And we're just going to say a cast member's name. You just think of the first word that comes to your brain. No judgment at all. Let's start with Jamie.
Ugh. That word.
That works.
We called her a human hanger. Because that's all she would do is just the clothes.
God bless. Anna.
Oh, man. Boss. Just a boss.
Right? Right. We would say
goals.
How she leans in and barely talks up a whisper is the biggest boss move in the world.
at every dinner party, I wish they would show this. We're all like this. Like, lean in when she talks. Every one of us.
There, Christine should have worried, because with Russian and Japanese parents, she could easily put a hit on her. I mean, in a second.
Yeah.
Kane.
Compassionate.
It's great. Christine, we just mentioned.
Sassy. I seriously, I know some people don't like her on the show. As a person too, I just love her as like, she's so sassy to me and just so funny. Like every time we talk, we just laugh. Even though she's like, you don't mind my digs? And I was like, I think they're hilarious.
I think Christine is thirsty. What I do, she's a good mom. And I like that they show how, like, because you kind of think of rich people not being super involved as parents, honestly. You feel like the kids are raised by the nanny. And
a helicopter parent.
And I love, and I kind of love that about her. So she grew on me as well. She grew on me as well.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel like she throws a good party. Definitely. I love that sex part. By the way, your old roommate is into some kinky shit, or you got some really nasty leather shit. Like, don't put a blue. I hope you Clorox that, because you know there was semen on that, right, Kevin?
I did not Clorox anything before.
Oh, go take a bath right now. You'll never get that off of your skin.
Yeah, no, that was a weird. Yeah. I never saw his stuff before. He just tells me about it.
Yeah. Going back to Kelly.
Confused.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to say Andrew, but I'd rather even move on.
Yeah, I'd move on from that too.
Yeah, me too. Kim.
Vixen.
Oh. Vixen. I like that.
Which makes me want to ask, did you maybe do all of, I know you wanted to help, but did you want to help Kim so much fun, help get closer with her dad? Because maybe you wanted to win her over?
And bang her.
I had no interest, actually.
Okay,
it was weird.
Okay.
That moment you guys saw on TV, like, was actually the first moment I felt something for her that way.
Interesting.
That's why it's weird, because even watching myself, I was like, that's the Kevin when you're actually interested in someone, not the Kevin where you're like really laying it on. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested. Yeah. It's like, it's a different behavior. Yeah. It's more calmer and something.
When you're trying to flirt, it's too gamey, and it's like on the edge of douchiness.
Yeah. And I felt that way with Kelly, even though I was interested. It was just more like, oh, well, Kim at that moment, I was like, I felt something and I knew it. I didn't know what it was. And then we've been talking for like almost a year. I was like, oh, I think I know what that was. That was that one shift where you're like, oh, feelings are changing.
Right. It's, and also you could feel it because there's a two-way street, not like with Kelly, mm-hmm. who was kind of like, so had so much going on at the time. There was not no right. way for her to engage, which is, yeah. And then Cherie and Jesse, I'll combine them.
Oh man. They're like emojis to me. They really are. So sweet.
We love Jesse is so hot. We feel like I know you stole all the hot limelight
but man,
there's something about him so let's just wrapping this up. This has been absolutely lovely. What is something that you're proud of with the show?
What I'm really proud of is the fact that it's a reality TV show and people walked away saying that they were a better person.
Oh.
Like, literally, I've had that so many times where people are like, I've amended a relationship with my dad, my parents. Oh. I have the courage to go find my birth parents or just find other family members. And they're like, I'm so proud to be Korean adopted finally. And I never felt that way before until I watched the show and you were representing us in a positive way. I'm like, that's the first time I've heard that from almost any, I mean, forget that it's unscripted, right? Or a reality TV show. I've never heard that from TV shows that much. You know, I don't watch. I've watched so many shows. I don't walk away from Ozark and be like, man, I'm such a better person after this show, even though it's amazing.
Selling Sunset did make me want to be a real estate person. No, I'm just kidding. It's a terrible piece of garbage. But I watched every single episode.
Well, we watched because we have to watch this garbage.
Netflix reality shows. It's interesting. They're always gorgeously shot. And they, and like we loved the, another one that's kind of your, on your sister network is Indian Matchmaking, which I don't know if you've seen it. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Indian Matchmaking.
And they either, they either do well or it's like Selling Sunset and it's garbage, which is, but it's hot, beautiful, messy garbage with glitter on it.
And they
We definitely didn't go like, I mean, look, it's reality TV. So you're going to have a little bit of cattiness and trashiness, but it's very different, you know, than Selling Sunset and stuff.
And so what's next for you? Tell us what's upcoming.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
getting out of Corona.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping there's a season two because, you know, him and I think we have some unanswered business.
I agree.
And also, too, I've just been doing a lot more advocating and just writing. I'd love to. There's just so much more interest in Asian American and Korean adopted stories that I'd love to tell. So I've been doing a lot more writing and pairing up with people to bring those stories to light.
I love that.
Well, and I think that's a good point. Some, just in talking to other podcasters, too, that like, you know, I think it's there's so many, I hope, especially white Americans that aren't educated watching the show sees that Asian is not one thing. Asian is such a yes. And so I like that in the show too, there's different, there's Chinese American stories, there's Korean American. And so in bringing that out, so.
Totally. And you know, I've been writing a lot of my memoir. I feel like it's kind of feeling more completed now, even though I'm young, it's just more of a purpose. Like just finding my place in the world with these stories. And so like, I just want to bring all of that to fruition somehow. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's going to take a little bit of time, obviously, but it's just, it's what's next.
I just have to say one more thing. I just have to say that I only wanted to bang your body before, and now I want to bang all of you.
It's true. I sometimes think you might play a little dumber on the show than you are, Kevin. I think maybe
it's smart. You're
because you're a smart guy.
I love being dumb. I mean, I have a dumb side to me. I like that.
I am too. All the time.
At least three or four of them, but that's okay.
Well, Kevin, you are always welcome on our show.
Always.
We say it before. We still dream of a you and Kane interview because I'm telling you, Kevin and Kane, the road show of y'all traveling the world, doing stupid stuff. And I would
watch that
all day. I love you both together so much.
You. No, we would love that too. Traveling together. That'd be so much fun. Great.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Netflix, obviously, but also Instagram at Kevin Kreider, and same with TikTok.
Great. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you, too. This was
hopefully
so
there's
fun.
A second season.
All right. I hope so, too.
Thanks so much.
Bye. All right. That was fun, guys. Oh, the flowersy, oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous, glamorous, oh, the glamorous. Oh, the flowersy, flowersy. Yo, how can I get Kevin to fuck me anytime I want? I want to beg for it day and night. Oh, wow, 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 wow. 1, 2, 3, more, yeah.
Yeah. Gonna get it done, Kevin. Get in here. That's what daddy does.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flocked to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is Me Undies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
Me Undies, who knew?
Yes, and Me Undies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, Me Undies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because Me Undies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but Me Undies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of Me Undies, it's on Me Undies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some Me Undies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at Me Undies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. Me Undies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.